Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mining the suburban sprawl, Arcade Fire struck gold. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today, a look at the story behind the album of the year. Plus, the latest opera, ripped straight from the headlines, is based on the life of Anna Nicole Smith. We'll get a preview. And later, classical pianist Paul Lewis performs live. But first, lots of people have been talking about the big upset win at the Grammys, the fact that the Canadian rock band Arcade Fire went home with top honor for this album, The Suburbs. At least lots of music people have been talking about it. What we haven't heard is from the guys who actually study The Suburbs, until now. Here to give us a sociological perspective on the album of the year is Christopher Neat of Hofstra University's National Center for Suburban Studies. Chris, welcome to Soundcheck.
Great to be here, John.
So you've listened to the album. I mean, it strikes me that it takes a very ambivalent tone towards the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
Does it strike you as being kind of sociologically authentic? Is it a realistic kind of portrayal?
I think so. I think that it's actually a very evocative album, and on a couple different levels. I think that as we listen to the lyrics, we really have a sense that we're being taken through the real landscapes of the suburbs. The real, you know, we can see the houses and the streets and the, you know, the parks and so on. But at the same time, it also works at a more metaphorical level as well. I mean, I think that the interesting thing about the narrator, the singer, is that he's growing up in the suburbs. And I think that when you grow up in the suburbs, as many of us have, many of these elements of the landscape take on a kind of a metaphorical meaning, an additional meaning for you.
And the lead singer and songwriter of Arcade Fire, Wynn Butler, and his brother Will, also mm-hmm. in the band, grew up in the suburbs of Houston
right.
for the most part, even though the band is now based in Montreal. And, you know, the song we just heard, The Sprawl, Part 2, I mean, there is paradoxically both a sense of, you know, expanse, sprawling suburban life that just goes on mm-hmm. and on without end, and a kind of a feeling of claustrophobia as well, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I think so. I absolutely think so. I think that there's, in some ways, the way that the suburbs are represented here is familiar from early representations in art and music, movies, television, where the suburbs, especially for the children who grow up there, but also for their parents, are sometimes seen as stultifying places which force people to conform, force people to obey a certain set of suburban
now,
social norms.
When did we get to that? I mean, wasn't the idea with the suburbs initially like this is going to, you know, free you from the hurly-burly of the city? You'll have quality time with your family and room to spread out and grow. When did the suburbs, when did that image turn around?
I mean, I think that critique emerged pretty soon after the first post-war suburbs were constructed. I mean, we've had suburbs in the United States since well before World War II. But it was only after World War II that we really saw an explosion of mass-produced tract housing, you know, the Malvina Reynolds, little houses made of ticky-tacky, or, you know, the suburbs, just, you know, Levittown, exactly, mm-hmm. or on American sitcoms. And I think that as soon as the suburban landscape began to change dramatically, as a lot of people know this story, the vets came home from mm-hmm. World War II, they got GI loans, they went out and bought their little starter house in Levittown. I think that as soon as that happened and the suburban landscape started changing dramatically, we started to see a number of critiques from both popular writers, mostly from popular writers like William H. White, for instance, who wrote The Organization Man, or feminists like Betty Friedan writing, you know, The Feminine Mystique, that critiqued suburban conformity. And I think that since then that's been a subtext to a lot of writing on the suburbs that kind of has carried that forward to the present.
Conformity, you see a lot of that sort of alluded to in the lyrics of The Suburbs, the mm-hmm. record by Arcade Fire, but also driving.
That's right.
Why is driving
such a kind of a key image in this album and in the way we approach the true suburbs, the real suburbs.
Right. I mean, I think that, again, this is another theme which we can see historically. When we've seen the suburbs represented, the automobile is often very central, particularly for the post-war suburbs. These were places that were really built for the automobile. And so if you're someone who's growing up in the suburbs like the singer, you only get a taste of real freedom once you're able to drive. And at the beginning of this, you know, album, there's kind of a narrative arc where at first the car symbolizes a certain liberation and a way to escape the stultifying suburbs. And later we see both the car and, you know, and driving and also this desired city. We see some disillusionment about both later on in the record.
In fact, the theme of cars and driving and freedom and boredom comes out in the very first line of the very first song, The Suburbs. Suburbs, I learned to drive, sings Wynn Butler of Arcade Fire in the opening line of the title track of their Grammy-winning album of the year, The Suburbs. And then later, as Chris Neat was just telling us, you get a more ambivalent view of driving, as in this song called Suburban War.
Let's go for a drive, see the town tonight. There's nothing to do.
From The Suburbs, the album by Arcade Fire that's called Suburban War, we're speaking with Christopher Neat. He is the academic director of the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University, and giving us kind of a different perspective on The Suburbs, the record. Soundcheck listeners, do you have a favorite album, a work of art that's about the suburbs, something besides Arcade Fire? You can leave a comment on the Soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Chris, it strikes me that, you know, certainly Arcade Fire, not the first to sing about the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Springsteen, you know, for one,
uh-huh.
leaps to mind.
Of course.
But the way in which this album is constructed, you know, it really does seem to take you on a journey. I mean, all this imagery of the car and the driving, and does it get you anywhere at the end of the album?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I was actually thinking, as I was listening to the album, of I grew up in suburban southern New Jersey, and not too far from where I grew up, there was a house slightly sunken into the landscape right at the intersection of these two major arterial roads. And on the wall of the house was written, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of, if we are not careful, we will leave our children a legacy of million dollar roads leading to places less interesting than where they began. And I was thinking about that quote as I listened to this album, in part because the car seems like a very liberating symbol at the beginning of the album, but by the middle of the album, it seems like it's actually something of a trap, that mobility itself is a trap.
Well, and then by the end of the album, when you get to The Sprawl, which is in two parts, part one of The Sprawl, Wynn Butler is singing about being on his bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cops come up and the light is shining off the reflectors of their bikes. And here is, I mean, I asked you, you know, do we get anywhere? He kind of answers that in one of the most desolate moments of the record. Mm-hmm. Here is the piece called Sprawl Part 1 from Arcade Fire.
Let's take a drive through the sprawl. To these towns they built the change.
then you said the emotions are dead. It's no wonder that you feel so strange. Cops shone their lights on the reflectors of our bikes. Said you kids know what time it is.
Part 1, subtitled Flatland, from Arcade Fire and the Grammy Award-winning album The Suburbs, Album of the Year, Sunday night at the Grammys. Christopher Neat is Academic Director of the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University, and giving us a little bit of a different take on the album. You are an Arcade Fire fan?
I am.
And yet you sort of stayed away from this album for a while. We actually came calling, apparently.
It's true.
So listening to it with fresh ears, were you surprised at what you heard?
I was. I had been a fan of the Arcade Fire since Funeral, which their first album.
The first record, right?
Which took me a little... I had to warm up to that one. It took a while to grow on me. And I like Neon Bible, but I hadn't heard this one. And I don't know, maybe I was thinking that when I finally got it, I would have to sit and listen to it closely and really think about what it meant. But one of the things I found most striking about the album, and particularly about the song that you just played, was that, as I've been saying, I guess, throughout the interview, many of the themes that the band explores in the lyrics for this album, they're very familiar. In prior, you know, again, music, movies, et cetera, we've heard about the suburbs as a dull place that, you know, where people
sucks
feel they have to conform,
out,
sucks your
yeah.
soul out, exactly, where, you know, and car culture and driving is central. But the different thing here, I think, is that the suburbs have seldom been seen as places of real change. They've been seen as places of growth. So you have suburban sprawl kind of spreading out and maybe eating up the surrounding landscape. But the idea that the houses and the streets that you once knew in the suburbs are disappearing and being rebuilt and that you're losing your history, that seems to me very novel. It's something that we have heard before in an urban context. You know, the literature, everything from Parisians writing about the rebuilding of Paris in the 19th century to, you know, rock songs like The Pretenders, My City Was Gone, or mm-hmm. writing about urban renewal in the 60s. But we haven't really heard about this that much in the suburbs. And that's why I feel like this is one of the first major pieces of popular art that's addressed that directly. We hear about houses that were built in the 70s only to be torn down, suburbs that were built to change. And I think that's what I found most interesting about it.
And the disillusionment seems to extend from the suburbs to the moments when the narrator actually gets into the city.
Absolutely.
And in this song called Rococo, the city kids turn out to be not as cool as you might have hoped. Rococo, 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 rococo. Rococo. Fire from the suburbs. There's a line in this song where Coco, let's go downtown and watch the modern kids, and then later using big words that they don't understand. And So it is an album that seems, Chris, to have a kind of generational aspect to it as well. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, just as a kind of a final thought, is this view of the suburbs slightly novel, as you said a moment ago, because it represents maybe a next generation taking a look?
I think so. I think that's right. I mean, I think that there's certainly a... I mean, one thing that I find interesting about the album is that you do have... I guess starting in the 1970s, you had some academics writing about people moving back into the city, kind of rejecting the suburbs in a disillusioned way and going back to the city. Although it's interesting that in this album, the city also seems as rejected, and instead we see at least a narrator, and I don't know, perhaps a generation that might be unmoored, that really has a hard time finding its place.
And that was that was what I came away with, especially from the song Sprawl, is this kind of rootless feeling. We've been speaking with Christopher Neat, Academic Director of the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University, talking about The Suburbs, the album by Arcade Fire. Chris, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Now our lives are changing fast.